Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
There's a piece in the Irish Independent today that caught my attention. A Dublin teacher said he's had to leave his job. He can't afford to rent in the city anymore. And it got us thinking, should public sector workers in Dublin get an extra payment levy to keep them in the capital? They do it in other cities in London, so why not here? And we'd love to get your take on it. This is a teacher, and I thought it was very interesting in the article. He said that after 5 years of third level education and a highly sought after professional skill set, making ends meet in the capital should not be a pipe dream. That's a pretty powerful sentence, isn't it? In the budget 2025, renters were granted a tax credit of a maximum of €1,000 per individual and €2,000 for jointly assessed couple. So are we doing enough for people living in the city? I know we were chatting amongst the team this morning, and one of the producers who worked in the BBC in London gave a really good example. So she was able to access the London Waiting initiative, which was working in the BBC, working in the City of London, obviously hugely expensive. And anyone who works in the public sector in the UK and are based in London get an allowance automatically into their salary. It works out approximately maybe 4K a year. So should we be doing something similar? I have Mark on the line, I believe. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon, Anna.
Hi, Mark. How do you feel about this?
I heard you mentioned the living in London allowance. I mean, it's been mentioned here over the last decade. I mean, I don't know how long the living in London allowance is there. I think it's there a good while now at this stage. But from the time that kind of came into being, it has been mooted here. And I mean, yeah, it's an idea. Exactly as you put it, you've got public servants, teachers, chief among them, but then you'd have other people working in the health board, you know, clinicians, stuff like speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, nurses, all of these people. Who can't afford to live in Dublin, can't afford to rent in Dublin, can't find somewhere to live. So, yes, you would think that something maybe needs to be done. I don't think it's just Dublin either. I get a feeling it would be, you know, all of the bigger towns or cities. I think there's a pressure on rents and a pressure on
accommodation. And I'd fully expect that, Mark. You're the principal of St. Lawrence O'Toole's National School, Senior Boys Primary School in Dublin 1. So in the heart of the city, really.
Yeah. And I mean, you'd kind of think that, where we are is so central. It's beside the IFSC. So you've got the Lewis, you've got the Dart, you've got buses. They're kind of all coming in here. But I think I was saying to your researcher that I think in the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, there were at least 2-3 years there where I had one position on sale, couldn't fill it with a properly qualified primary school teacher, you know, and it kind of failed bits and pieces, maybe correct qualification or bits and bobs. But yeah, so I mean, put it this way, over the last 6 years, I would say to you that half of those years we were unable to have a completely full staff.
Okay, so it's an ongoing issue. And as you say, they could come in on the Dart or the Lewis as well, so they don't have to be living in Dublin 1.
Yeah, but no, you don't have to be. Number of staff here who are coming in from the likes of Manchester and Donna Bay. I'll break it. So yeah, you can do it, you know. But I mean, it's the cost of rents everywhere. You know, are there cheap rents somewhere in the greater Dublin area? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. So it's the same story that you're hearing year in, year out, and it's obviously very difficult to get staff. Jason Cullen, Dublin Commuter Coalition. Jason, how do you feel about the London Waiting Programme, it's actually called?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of giving people in kind of high cost living areas additional resources, grants and things like that, there's a lot of merit in it. And actually, we're kind of unique within the transport sector. If you live within the centre of Dublin, you actually have access to some of the cheapest public transport in Ireland. You know, you can have €2 leap card or even €1 if you're under 25 years of age and free travel for kids. Whereas if you are in the greater Dublin area commuting in through the zones, you have much higher rate of daily fare, or even down the country in rural Ireland, you've got much higher fares than commuter services. So, you know, there is a value there for having lower costs for certain aspects, but equally on that same page,
we're having a conversation about people getting paid different rates for the same job depending on what place they're in. And in reality, what we have is a massive cost of living crisis that everyone needs a pay rise, you know, rather than just the people who happen to live in the high cost of living areas.
Okay, so you don't actually think this is a good idea because everyone needs a pay rise?
Yeah, well, I think it's as soon as you get into nitty gritty of it, you'll have the likes of the union representatives starting to, you know, rightfully advocate on behalf of their members who are outside of Dublin, who would all of a sudden be on less than their counterparts, which, you know, isn't really acceptable. The working within your major cities and towns, you do get the added benefits of access to more public services that you don't get down in rural Ireland, and they have different considerations that they have to deal with in terms of time and keeping vehicles on the road and places where they don't have access to public transport, that they have additional costs on top of that. So the crisis is everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no arguing that cost of living in the city versus more rural places is more expensive, and rent obviously being the number one example.
Yeah, and then once you get on top of that, like, we're talking specifically about, you know, in general, nurses, teachers, public sector workers, you know, but it's the cost of living crisis hits those in the private sectors as well. The maintenance staff, the plumbers, those who service the bus drivers who might not necessarily be under Department of Education contracts when it comes to schools. Those are the people who equally provide those essential services who might not get that uplift that you'd see in the public sector. So we have to be very cautious about, you know, giving one benefit to obviously highly in demand teachers and nurses and essential workers, but that the entirety of those living within Dublin are able to live there, not
but
just
that
those
there isn't on a sector left out. Standards. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Grace joins us. She's a student nurse in Dublin. Grace, would you welcome a bit of extra cash for working in the city? Grace, are you there? We lost Grace.
Hello.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, sorry. Hi.
Don't run away from me now.
I think coming from a nursing student perspective, I think extra allowances are obviously something that we're looking for. I mean, you know, we're working very similar hours to registered nurses, and we receive very, very little for it. I mean, we get 500 euro from the HSC a year, which is meant to tackle the costs of food when we're on placement, since a lot of students don't actually have access to hospital cafeterias and staff cafeterias, and we're having to find our own food. And this 500 euro, I mean, it's, you know, it's great to have something, but at the same time, a lot of people want to put that in saving, want to use it for other things like rent and things like that. But in reality, I know very few places where you could get rent for 500 euro. You know, guided trainees are receiving allowances of up to 354 euro per week, and this would be for 36 weeks of training with their accommodation and food already provided. And student nurses, I mean, we're working 40-hour weeks, and on top of that, we're working our part-time jobs, the only jobs that actually do give us money. On top of that, having to attend our lectures and our classes and keep up with assignments and study for exams. Ireland's losing nurses because, like, we're not being respected from day one. You know, we want security working in public jobs. We're looking for security. I mean, I want to stay in Ireland. I shouldn't have to, you know, be in my third year of a degree already planning to buy my ticket to, you know, Australia.
And are you, Grace? Are you looking at that?
Personally, absolutely. Like, even last year, I found myself couch surfing in semester one because I couldn't find any accommodation that was affordable. All of the private student accommodations are over 10 grand for the year, which, I mean, I'm originally from Mayo. I can't commute, and I don't have that type of money to be paying for those accommodations. And I was just on daft every second week looking for digs and for rooms that I could sublet. And it was absolutely exhausting. I don't see myself living in Dublin, even though I'd love to. I can't, and I can't afford to. And I'm only 2 years into college. I know that already. That the only way for me to be comfortable and secure as a nurse is to not do it in Ireland.
Which is a sorry state of affairs to hear you actually say that as a student nurse and as someone that, you know, the country needs you to stay here, really. We do have John Conlon. Stay with us, Grace. John Conlon is the Irish Independence article is centred around a former teacher, John Conlon, and he joins me now. Are you there, John?
I am. Hello. How are you?
Hi. How are you? It's a big article in the Indo today. Got us talking, John. Will you give us a sense of your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a qualified primary school teacher. I qualified with a master's degree in 2019. I taught in Ireland for 3 years in Dublin and decided to make the move to Australia after my third year of teaching here. I suppose it was post-pandemic. It was a time where a lot of people were seeking a bit of adventure, and I kind of saw it as an opportunity to develop within my career as well, which I did, and reap the rewards of, I suppose, what Australia had to offer, which was very plentiful. And since then, I've decided to make the move home, I suppose with visa expiration, as well as just a draw back to family and friends. I came home there recently in June, end of May, and I've since left teaching as a career for a career in recruitment consultancy, which I'm currently working in now.
Okay, and that's a more lucrative career.
It's a more lucrative career in terms of, I suppose, I came home with the idea of setting up a future and looking for prospects in Ireland. And I suppose in terms of financial gain, over a shorter period of time, I'll be able to make more money. I feel as though within teaching, it's a very small financial gain at a very slow pace, and it just doesn't match the cost of living that Dublin requires at the moment. So I have to make the decision to leave.
And John, can I ask you, if the London waiting programme existed in Dublin, would it have been a game changer for you?
If the pardon?
If that London waiting programme
that they have in London.
Yeah, you know, the extra payment for living in the city and the cost of it and all that. If that existed in Dublin, would it have changed the game for you in terms of staying in teaching?
It definitely would have been a consideration. I think there are varying amounts of factors around teaching as a profession at the moment that people are considering a move out of for. But I think definitely, of course, any kind of alleviation around the cost of living, specifically rent in Dublin at the moment, would be something I would have considered 100%. It's probably something I would have looked into before I left Australia, instead of scrolling through Daft and feeling quite hopeless about everything at home.
Yeah, and that's horrible actually to hear that, you know, that hopeless feeling. Can I read a few texts and just get your response? The public servants do love a good whinge about actually having to travel to work. I've been travelling from Goree to Dublin on a Wexford bus for the last 8 years. It's just a fact of life. You live somewhere, you work somewhere else, you have to travel to work. Someone else says pay rate differences between cities is common enough in the private sector, so applying it to the public sector for frontline staff in healthcare and education actually makes sense. We can part fund it by cutting politicians' ridiculous travel expenses. And someone else says, why would this only apply to the public sector? People working in the private sector suffer the same cost of living crisis. What would you think about some of those texts coming in, John?
Yeah, well, in response, I suppose, to the private sector comment, I'm someone who's left the public sector for the private sector.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see the benefit, as you mentioned, it being more lucrative. It's a more money-making industry than the public sector. I think that's well known. In terms of travel and in terms of a job that you have to travel and commute to, absolutely, it's definitely something I know a lot of my teacher friends are currently doing. I suppose for the circumstances that I have in life at the moment, I'm favoured to be in Dublin. It's just a fact of life personally for me. Everyone differs in that respect. So
yeah.
I think being in Dublin is just something I have aspired to do. I had lived here before I left Sydney, Australia, and I wanted to return here. It's a city I love. And I think living in a city that you have a great tie to and you want to leave the other side of the world to come back to isn't a tall request. It's not to say that there hasn't been sacrifices involved, like that sector who's commuting at the moment. There definitely has been sacrifices on my end. But I suppose everyone has a different set of circumstances, which I completely respect and value as well. But I think in terms of making the decision, it was a pretty easy one to make. It's a more lucrative industry being in the private sector. And it's more money making, so I made the decision to. And I suppose that's the sacrifice in itself. I studied for 5 years to be a primary school teacher. I taught in Dublin. I moved to Australia. I taught in a school for children with intellectual disabilities. I tried to broaden my career as much as I could and make myself as hireable as possible, but it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, and you're a highly sought after professional skill set, there's no doubt about it. And as you say yourself in the article, and it really kind of hit me actually, you know, making ends meet living in a capital should not be a pipe dream.
No, I think it definitely shouldn't. And we're a required, as you said, public sector. And I think your previous speaker, who's in nursing,
yeah, Grace,
in a capital city of a country, we're very sought after. We're needed in these areas of Ireland. You know, rural Ireland, of course, needs public sector workers, but especially in one of the larger exposed cities in Ireland, it's required that we have public sector nurses and teachers and people to provide the service that a city is based upon. So I think making it affordable for those people is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Making it affordable for everyone, of course. But overall, I think, we're a sought after profession, and it's a shame to see that there's so many of us leaving. Number one, Dublin as a city, and number two, the profession, of whom I know quite a few people who have. So,
yeah, I totally agree. There's two layers to it, isn't there? Cut the teachers' holidays and pension benefits to pay for this. Simple and cost effective, says Ray in Cork. Someone else says the London waiting rate is actually paid for working in London. You don't have to live in the city where a lot of people are working. They actually commute in from the home counties. And it's also public service workers who are paid for it. So no doubt this is going to continue. John, thanks very much for joining us today, sharing your very honest story. And we wish you well in the recruitment business. And thanks to Grace and all of our callers on that subject as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.